What is up, best life seekers? You are listening to Dreamcatcher, the podcast with your host, Mark Rudd Larson. Mark believes that at one time or another, we have all had dreams. Dreams for the future and dreams of a better life. In this podcast, Mark will feature people who have gone after, fought for, and caught their dreams. Mark and his guests will share the tips and tools that they've used to create their best lives. So sit back, listen, and learn so you too can get started catching all your dreams and living your best life. Now here's your host, Mark Rudd Larson.
Hello, Mark Rudd Larson with my wife, Cheryl. Thanks for joining us on the Dreamcatcher podcast. This is a special episode. It's 150th episode, which seems impossible because, we're into year three, but it's gone by like in the blink of an eye. And it's special episode because I have all these people have gotten me to where I am today. And I'm so blessed that we crossed paths and God crossed our paths. And I would not be where I am today. So I'm going to introduce you, and maybe if you guys want to, hold your hand up, or I'll just I'll go right next to me. Caleb Haney. He is my coach, trainer, friend at the YMC in Hastings. It's an interesting story how Caleb and I got to know each other. Kind of goes back to health problems and kind of a doctor who was very progressive. And that is amazing how that has helped a lot on a lot of things. And, it has been very good. So I always look forward to training with you, Caleb, and thank you for everything you've done, and I look forward to all of you being in my life and our lives going forward. So, and then going Carter Sirach, from Marcellus, Michigan. Carter, you're the one that got me started kind of on this journey. I was just surfing the net and saw a questionnaire that you had put up, and I answered it, and it kind of went from there. And you were my coach for like 2 years approximately. And got me on a lot of, you got me started on this journey. You really got me started on this journey. And very good friend, too. I always love talking to you, as you know. And I appreciate that so much. Because I sometimes, it's like, Carter's like, no more. So it's just, Caleb maybe says that, too. So anyway, Carter, thanks for joining us today. So, and Crystal. Thank you. We actually met on one of the things out in Vegas. Mm-hmm. That was one of Cole's Thrive events. Yeah. And I think that was. It wasn't one of Cody's. And ran into you because we were kind of helping beforehand, I think. And you said you weren't even supposed to be there, and ran into you. Yeah. And it's just like, I would really like to work with you. And we came home and kind of touched bases and about 2 years with you too, I think it was approximately. And but right now, as you all know, with everything that is, you all know what's going on with Cheryl and ours life, and it's kind of like I'm kind of on my own now. I kind of feel like I'm the taking my first steps now without coaches and everything. But I still feel like you guys are coaching me day in and day out because you're still things that you said in my head. And I'm take the training wheels off, I guess, kind of like that. See how this all goes. So I'm going to have you guys introduce yourself and tell the audience what you do. So, Caleb, exactly what do you do at the Y?
I'm Caleb, like Mark said. I'm the wellness coordinator, and I'm a personal trainer at the Hastings YMCA in Nebraska. So I work with a lot of our wellness programs, from like youth equipment orientations. We do like in-body scans, like a kids cooking club. And then obviously like personal training, we do one-on-one personal training, group training. I work with, anywhere from an 8-year-old all the way up to an 80-year-old. So I see a wide variety of people.
You do. And you had me help with the summer camp last year, and I learned what Gaga ball was. So
yeah, we do have a kids summer camp. That's in like end of July or something that we just go out to, some farm ground out in a small town in Nebraska.
It's an easy place.
Kids just get to experience. There's no reception out there, very limited. So kids really get to experience just being outside all day, playing, interacting without any sort of technology. So it's fun.
It is. It's a lot of fun. And it exhausting, but fun. Those kids, I wish I had half their energy.
Yep, for sure. I'm ready for the camp to be over when it is, but it's fun while it's happening.
I can definitely. So
yeah.
So okay, Carter Surratt from Marcellus, Michigan. Tell everybody what you're up to now.
Yeah, awesome. I've done a lot of things. I'm an entrepreneur at heart, so I've started businesses growing up and into today, and that's kind of been the constant in my life. But these days, I just help people essentially get their personal productivity and personal knowledge management in order using these awesome digital tools like Notion. I'm not sure how many on this podcast have heard of Notion. I know Mark has, but
I basically
help people build systems in Notion, and I consult them through that, and I build templates, and we even have a community that has over 1,000 members in it now. So it's been an awesome ride, just kind of like learning alongside these people as well. It's people from all walks of life, entrepreneurs like myself, investors, mothers, pilots, you name it, educators, just any profession out there that wants to become more productive and take control of their digital life and get organized. I help them out. So that's my gig these days. I've done a lot of things, but that's what I've been up to.
And you really do, because I think I told you this Jack Murray, who lives over in Portugal, who is originally from Canada, that's doing soccer over there. I told him, and it's like, Carter, he says, I know him, you know, from YouTube. And he says, productive dude, he's a Notion dude, you know.
That's very cool.
and Carter, if he hasn't met you, he wants to meet you. So, I mean, Jack Murray is 15 going on, I mean,
oh, 15.
Oh my gosh, I can't imagine being that way at 15. But he very much wants to talk to you, and he and compare notes and what do you, I mean, he constantly wants to learn. So if you haven't talked to him, I'll tell him you guys need to meet.
Yeah, I'll have a chat with
him
for sure. I got to meet somebody that found me from my YouTube channel in my local town about a year back, and I was like, man, this is crazy that YouTube can connect me with people that are like this close. And so we went out, we got coffee. It was a very cool experience. So I'm not famous by any means, but if you use Notion, you've probably seen my videos on YouTube because I've made probably the most videos on Notion. So
you definitely are the Notion dude. I agree with Jack on that. So, okay, Crystal. So with a new baby, and so I know you've got your event coming up. What, Galentine's is coming up pretty quick?
Yeah. So what I am currently, the mission that I am now, I'm a teacher at heart. So you had said that you're an entrepreneur at heart. Carter, I'm a teacher at heart. I used to be a school teacher. I taught about 6 years, and then I shifted into entrepreneurship. So nowadays, I run masterminds to help people step into their more and just create whatever their heart is calling. And we go over plans and we take action and we actually put it into the reality of world. I run retreats, I run events, I run masterminds, I run memberships online. And it's all to help people step into what they want to create, their dreams, and build whatever their heart is telling them to build. So we started certification programs, but the main of everything that I do is I love speaking on stages. I love speaking on podcasts. I love building communities. And I think especially now with being a new mom, I'm a mom to a 2-month-old. It's been a very interesting journey to realize just when I see this little boy, I keep thinking to myself, I hear so often parents say, oh, you could be whatever you want. You could do whatever you want. And the biggest thing that has been born right now is this feeling of, I don't want this little boy to look at me one day and say, well, mom, how come you didn't do it? So I think with what I'm building now, there's this bigger fire in my soul to just keep building and keep helping others build their more. Because I think as kids are watching their parents, I want them to know, hey, I can do anything just like my parents can do anything. So that's what we're shifting to.
Mm-hmm. Very, very good. So we're all kind of the same mindset. So what got each one of you into wanting to help people? I mean, I'll start with you, Carter.
Yeah. To be honest with you, there was a lot of like I said, and I mean, I've always been an entrepreneur. The business element has always been there, but it's not just any business. The recurring trend has kind of been with my businesses, helping other people and just kind of like skill transfer. Skill transfer, I think, is one of the biggest things that I've liked and enjoyed throughout the process. I love teaching people as well. I like when you can basically give someone the tools that no one else is going to give them. And I've honestly, like, I've had a lot of people that have maybe worked for me or worked under me that I have wanted to just elevate to the point where they can't really work for me anymore. And I want to naturally do that. And some people might say that it's, you know, detrimental in a way to my business, but I think of my brother, for instance. He was working for me since he was probably like 14, 15 years old. And these days he runs a YouTube channel just like mine, and it's now even more subscribers than mine. So he's absolutely blown up. But it's just been a blessing watching him grow and kind of just planting seeds and showing people what's possible with the online world. I think that's what's really kind of kept me in it, is just educating people and showing them that there's kind of this thing beyond just like a normal job, beyond just a normal day-to-day life that we all live. And, you know, you can go out and really achieve a lot with the leverage of the internet. So I think it's the teaching element. I think it's also just, I really enjoy building things. I have a blast building businesses and things like that.
Awesome. So I'm talking about teaching. So Crystal, I mean, is that what got you initially being a teacher, or wanting to be a teacher and then moving forward?
I used to be a kid who would get in trouble a lot. I grew up in a very, not the safest community. And I would get, it was almost like, Now looking back at it, it was almost like get picked on or learn how to pick on people. And I remember being like a tiny kid. I was like, well, I don't want people picking on me. And it, sure enough, it was very aggressive kids. And I remember I started learning how to get in trouble and how to defend myself. And it led into being the child who would always get in trouble. I remember around seventh grade, I was told that I was about to get expelled from school because I was getting in a lot of trouble.
Okay.
So they sent me to a summer camp. And in that summer camp, I met this college professor who kept telling me, hey, you're doing amazing. Hey, you're doing amazing. And I kept thinking in my head, like, why are you even interested in me? I'm not a good kid. Why are you even bothering? And this college professor, he was just aggressively trying to persuade me to, you're a good kid and you're this and you're that. And there was something in my heart that like just felt seen for the very first time or cared for. And I remember I looked at him and I was like, oh, this is the feeling of being a teacher. And that man instilled in me that I could go to college. And I mean, with my background, I'm the first middle school graduate in my entire like generation's family. I'm the first person to ever graduate high school in my family. So I didn't like college wasn't a thing. Everybody that I knew was pregnant by 14. Teen pregnancy was like a whole thing in our family. So I didn't know. I didn't know any different. And this guy kind of took me under his wing. And I remember feeling of like, if I could do something like this for somebody else and I could help them, it'll be worth it. And I went to that summer camp for the next 2 years I went 12, 13, 14. And eventually when I graduated, he still stayed in touch with me. And then I went through school and I became a teacher just like he was.
Very awesome. And just goes to show you don't know the impact you're making on people a lot of times. You know, that impact. Kind of like the event I had. And that still resonates with, you know, impact. It's amazing how I still have that up on Facebook. How many people are going to that now? It'll be a year and a half or soon be 2 years since I had that event, but it seems like people are resonating with that impact, you know, now more than ever. So, you just never know the difference you're making in people's lives. That is for sure. So Caleb, what got you, I mean, why did you want to be like a trainer? What got you started with that and helping people?
Yeah, you know, I guess it starts when I was probably at a young age. I was always active. I was an athlete all the way through high school, college. Uh-huh. And at first, you know, going into college, I thought I wanted to be a strength and conditioning coach. You know, I was an athlete, so it would just make sense for me to work with athletes as well. But then I just kept on hearing all these stories from people, from other athletes. And the one that got me the most was there was a Division I college football player at the University of Nebraska, Lincoln. Uh-huh. He just graduated. So he was at the school for 5 years. I think he redshirted. So, you know, he has 5 years of, you know, intense weightlifting under his belt. But when he got out of school, he didn't know what to do when he went into the gym because he didn't have anybody telling him what to do.
Okay.
He didn't know what to do. He didn't even know where to start. And that really resonated with me. And I was like, you know, yeah, it'd be really cool to work with athletes, you know, potentially right. work with D1 pro athletes. But at the end of the day, if I'm not showing people what they can do on a daily basis and take that and do that on your own, kind of like what you're doing right now, Mark, mm-hmm. Like, even though you may not be seeing me every day, working out with me every day, mm-hmm. but I still see you and you're doing what we practice together.
True.
And at the end of the day, that's really what I wanted for everybody. So I kind of switched paths to just strictly personal training, you know, so that I can really help people help them with their one-on-one goals and, you know, really get what they need. And at the end of the day, I guess I would rather help somebody, you know, lose the 100 pounds that they need or, you know, get them stronger so that they can keep on playing with their grandkids as they get older.
Awesome.
Whatever that is. Yes. Yeah.
Catch your dreams, no matter whatever their age is.
Yep. So, that's right. Yep.
And I can personally say, yep. I had a bunch of injuries when I was younger, and I was afraid of the stairs until I met Caleb because he showed me things I could do at home because I can't go like Mark does. My schedule doesn't allow that. And I'm not afraid yeah. of the stairs anymore. So I am so grateful because, you know,
yeah.
I'm old, but I'm not that old that I should be worried about.
She is older than me.
Oh, shut up. Anyhow, you know, I have such gratitude to you because, you know, it sounds like such a silly thing, but it is a huge thing because you think about your day, how many places do you go? Upstairs was fine, but going down because my knee was giving out. And when you're walking down the stairs and your knee goes like that, you know, it's terrifying. And so now yep. I don't have that worry. And so it's so nice to be able to know that I have something that I can rely on and do for myself, but I got it from you. And, you know, it's sort of like Carter did the same thing. Not that I wanted to learn to do Premier Pro.
But Premier Pro is an awesome program, though.
Yeah, but it's a skill set now I have because I was doing some of the stuff that Mark just didn't have time to do, you know. And then I really have a lot of positivity things that keep coming at me from someone else who is sitting there, Crystal, because, you know, he would talk to me and say, well, Crystal said this. And I'm like, okay.
Did I say it that way?
Yes, you did. It was things that were, you know, very applicable, and, you know, and both my parents were educators, and my father had a doctorate as well, and he came from sort of the same kind of a background that you did. And his dad died before he was 12, and in the middle of the Depression, and so, you know, he was working from day one, and that was his way out, was education as well. So, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, by osmosis, I'm learned quite a few things as well. So, you know, it's not just the single person that you're working with. It goes out.
Yeah. They're the people that, yeah, that's true. So Caleb, the other day we were talking, you said you had people that had paid for training with you, but didn't show up still, you know, not everybody, but you had people doing that. And this question is kind of directed to all three of you, but what do you think people get in their way? Why do you think people would pay for a service and then not show up?
I guess on my standpoint, I'm sure they do have a lot of things going on in their life. Life does get busy, and I absolutely understand that. But if they don't put their health at the very, you know, towards the top of their list, and if they don't take care of it now, I think that's a problem. They just don't see the value in it. And
yeah, I think that's
true. I think that's probably number one in my opinion.
The health, okay. The health's okay. Got to be at the foundation of everything. I mean, if you don't prioritize your health, then you won't have anything else eventually. So, but to answer the question, I think it's because people in the short term doing the, you know, making the commitment feels really good, but the hard part is actually doing it. So I think what it comes down to is just like kind of short-sightedness and just the feeling of, you know, I'm in the personal productivity, personal knowledge management space. So sometimes I just tell people like, you're just too over the top with your planning even, you know, it's just, it feels good to plan something and outline something. But at the end of the day, it's not going to happen unless you do it. And the more you do it, the more it'll become a habit. So the easier it will get. So I think it's just a matter of people, just wanting something that feels good to them all the time. So you got to be willing to do things that don't feel good.
You do. Cause that's, you gotta, well, like we were talking yesterday, Caleb, I think doing the reps, people kind of like the one guy that the nutritionist, that the person that kind of, you know, he hasn't done his reps, you know, and it's just like, you can't really do that until you actually have done, you know, and gotten to your certification or whatever, you know, you're going.
Yeah.
And I think people want to shorten the journey, and you just can't do it.
Just like anything, people want it done right now, and they want to see results right now.
They do. Yeah, we're in a society that wants everything right now. And
well, take a pill and it's taken care of.
Yeah, which is definitely so. So Crystal, so what do you think on that question?
So I think we live in a society where we have learned that things come overnight. I mean, you order something, you look for the fastest shipping, and it's here tomorrow. So I think we expect things to be here sooner than later. And I think is why when we don't see results, we quit. The other thing that I think is that we love a list with things to do because what I see in my world with the individuals who kind of lose themselves in the journey or in their careers is that we love achievements because achievements are tied to our worth. So if I have a long list with all the things to do, I'm being so successful, I'm doing all the things, but I always tell people, like, just because you have a lot of things on your list, it doesn't mean you're making progress, because you could be moving in place, but you're not going anywhere. And so many of us, we love to sign up for all the things and sign up for all the coaches and the mentors and everything, and then we don't commit, because again, like you guys were saying, there's so many things on our plate that we can't give 100% or attention to anything, and we end up quitting probably 100% of the time. Our health one.
Yeah. Yeah. The thing that you don't see anything happening if you quit that immediately most of the time. So, and then, well, what if you lose your wealth? Well, you spend all your time doing the other, and then when you lose your wealth, your health, you spend all your time trying to get it back. Mm-hmm. So,
well, and I think our society is linear and life is not linear. Linear like this, maybe, but, you know, because you go to school, and you get good grades, and then you get the scholarship, and then you go to college. You know, that's the standard thing that everybody's selling. And then you get your job, and then you get your promotion, and you get your next promotion. And it doesn't work that way. Failure is part of the package. And
very much.
I think people are so terrified. And I know from having like a school that was not good and having an undiagnosed issue with my processing that, you know, I just learned that school was a place to fail. And so I just didn't do anything extra. I was fabulous outside of school. I mean, I did all sorts of things. I got the equivalent, like what the Eagle Scout is on Campfire Girls, which is, you know, the Wohelo medallion. I got that. I was in everything and la di da di da, but they didn't mesh. And so when I got out of school, I didn't have that linear thing to focus. And I think a lot of people, that's one of the things, once you get out of school, it's been set up for you. You do this, this, and this.
Yeah.
And then there's that's not there. What do I do with myself?
Yeah. You don't know what the
next one is. And then if you fail and you fail again and you fail again, a lot of people just say, okay, fine, I'm going to, you know, flip burgers for the rest of my life because I can't do anything more because I've failed. And that's so ingrained in you in school systems.
Yeah, you can't fail.
That, you know, I can't fail. And if you do, then it's like this huge tragedy. And I think when people sign up for stuff, they've done the active, inactive thing. You know, it's like, okay, I'm going to buy a piece of clothing that's, you know, size 12 and I'm size, you know, 27, 28, you know, you're huge and you think, oh, well, if I've got this thing, and then it sits in the back of the closet, you know, mm-hmm. with weight loss or that type of thing. And I think it's a thing that we all kind of do, you know.
Yeah, I would agree.
You
yeah.
know, it's that linear thing is not there. And so what do I do with myself?
No, I wish our school systems didn't emphasize the failing so much.
Well, and even in life.
Yeah, you know, that's so, true. Yeah,
that failing is okay. So. I would say like the failing yeah, is okay. Yeah. It's just the like how we treat failing. And I think as all of us being teachers, we've got to have a lot of patience for failure because failure is like one of the most common things in the world. And I would say, yeah, like the school system, I felt the same way when I was in school. Crystal, it sounds like you met that professor and he really was able to like build you up and like basically mm-hmm. help you find your strengths and like help you be proud of those things, which helped you then go and turn that into something even better and really kind of let that grow. When I was in school, like nothing about the traditional school system made me feel like I was really good at something. I guess once I made it to high school, there was, you know, a couple teachers that I can think back on, my track coach uh-huh. being one who took that extra time with me and really like taught me how to be a good person outside of school. And, you know, we would stay there late at night after a meet and just talk. So it's people like that. It's people like, in my computers class, we ended up turning one of the classes into like a video production class. And that led to a lot of what I know now. So I would say that that was big. But when I was growing up, you know, just like basic reading, arithmetic, I was always, you know, middle at best of my class. And I didn't really feel like, you know, this was for me. So I was fortunate that I had other people in other areas that built me up and gave me something to be proud of and showed me where my strengths lie. But if you don't have that, then you're right. You just end up at either a dead end job or you end up even worse for some people, which is sad, but
true. Very, very true. So, well, and you know, what Cheryl and I've had basically going on since we got back from Italy would be in somebody, people's eyes, a failure. You know, it's been, oh boy, has it been interesting times. Yeah. It's been a challenge, but it's been a journey. And, cause all the stuff that we basically, Caleb, you know, with when not able to pay, you know, and stuff like that, or, you know, not being able to pay when I've never really ever had, I prided myself, you know, with my 800 some, you know, FICO score and all this other stuff of never being late on a thing. And then we're, everything was basically, like I was telling you the other day, Carter, everything was pending, you know, it just never, ever showed up. Everything didn't show up. And, but the good thing is, and Krista, you always said I should surrender because you had told me about your backstory when you and your husband had had problems, similar problems. And it's just like, let me tell you, surrendering is probably one of the hardest things that I have ever done. But it's gotten me closer to Christ, God. And I mean, it's just like, and I have a thing where I basically talk to my guides and God almost daily, and people are looking at me like, what? But it is, and I get told now, or, you know, suggested what I should do every day. And, in fact, he was the one that told us to go take Cheryl out for coffee this morning. So, but it was just like, because in my eyes, I failed, because I have let all these people not be paid. You know, it's just like, because I think men specifically really take pride in that. You know, it's just like, you know, you're going to not ever do that. But it's just like, it's been a journey that I wouldn't have ever gone on if I hadn't had this all go on. And I know it's all, it's an awesome journey. It's surrendering is,
it's hard.
It's hard, but it's necessary.
Yeah, I did that when I had cancer because if you attach to, because I had ups and downs that were just horrific. And I always equated it to like being in a dinghy in the middle of the North Sea. And if you know anything about the North Sea, it's like this. And if you attach too much to, okay, this test was great, so I'm okay. And then the next test comes back and, you know, I was bleeding internally. And so they told me I couldn't do some of my chemo. And so then that's a scare because if you don't have it in the schedule, then there's a chance that this cancer is going to beat your butt, basically. And So then I went way low, and I finally just learned I had to kind of float in the middle. And that's a skill that's really hard, you know, like when you're failing and you've done all this stuff and you've tried so hard and you've worked so hard and it comes to nothing.
Well,
and
it doesn't have to.
You know, years of attempts and it's nothing. And so to learn that skill, I think, is, you know, invaluable.
I would agree.
It's not easy.
No.
But it's part of life, I think.
Well, and learning, and I'm blessed with so many people around me that when we didn't even have money to go forward, that was gifted, you know, and thank you for being able still to go forward when we don't have the money. And I've had people, even my bank has been amazingly understanding. Yeah. And it's just like you got to keep going forward even when you can't. You think you can't. I had a thing the other day. It's like, if you think you can't, you must. Yeah. And I didn't know exactly what that meant. And I know what it means now. No matter what you have, well, it has to become non-negotiable, you know, and there's always a way, you know. Sometimes it's not the way you would think, but there's always a way. And it's just like, I'm just waiting for the next step here. But how much I have learned, how much I've grown, because yeah, people want to grow, but usually don't grow when it's easy. You grow when it's, yeah, when it's difficult. So, but it's good. It's all good. And every second gets us closer to the next, which is going to be so awesome. I mean, with the podcast, I mean, it's just getting more and more people paying attention to it. Which is cool. I have people that's like, one guy's like, wow, he said, you've done 95% better than most, because he said most people stop after 10 episodes.
Wow.
And which is, it's who would have thought?
Well, but most of life is showing up.
It is. It is most of it, because most people don't show up, and they don't show up for themselves, which is sad.
Yeah. And that's another thing we've been taught, to show up for everybody else, especially women.
Yeah.
That they must do this for this one, this and this. And then maybe if there's something left over, you can have it, you know? And,
yep.
And I know my dad's culture was from Ireland, and that is really huge there, that, you know, it's an Irish Catholic, and it's it's very structured for the man. And then, you know, women are very at the bottom. And so that's ingrained too in a lot of women's heads. I think you probably run into that with some of the things that you work with, Crystal, because, you know, I know you work mostly with women with their goals, mm-hmm, and those types of things.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think as you guys were sharing, surrendering is a big part of the journey, because here's what I know to be true, is that every single thing that has not worked out in my life has shifted into something so much better. And that is like facts that I can look back. You had shared a little bit of my story, but when I quit teaching, I had no plan. I just left. And I knew, I said, hey, I'm leaving teaching and I don't know what I'm going to do, but I know that there's this gut feeling in my, that I can't shake off, that there's something else that I'm meant to be doing that is not in the classroom. And I knew when my last year of teaching, I didn't want to be there anymore. And I felt it. And I felt like I was doing a disservice to my students, because as much as they loved our community and our classroom, there was something else that I knew it was, I didn't know what it was. So mm-hmm, I left teaching. I pulled out my retirement account, which again was very advised against, but I was like, well, this is all I have. I sold my house. And I remember sharing with Mark, I said, I remember this day like it happened yesterday, but I was, me and my husband, well, he was my fiance at the time. We were outside of a gas station and we had, I think it was like $15 left. And I remember we looked at each other. I was like, we could get a scratcher and see, hopefully we could get more money. Or we can, mm-hmm, pump gas. And I think we did like a $5 scratcher and then the rest was gas. But I still remember that. I remember that moment. And it was that moment where we sat down and we surrendered and we're like, you know what? If I'm willing to bet on anyone, it's myself. And for, yep, majority of us, that's, we know our capabilities. We know what we're made of. We know that we can, if we get a job, we'll become employee of the month. Like, our hard work is there. And what if we were to apply that hard work into our own companies, our own businesses, our own legacies, the things that we, yep, want to do? We became obsessed with that more that our soul calls. And sure enough, that started and things started happening. But I think we've learned to what I've learned over the past is just surrendering is there's a greater vision for us all the time. And sometimes we can't even see it because we get so obsessed with the goal that's right in front of us that we can't see the goal that's ahead or the vision or the life that's going to be designed for us when we fully surrender. So, and also like having a big community. I think you guys all have talked about having that mentor or that person. I think when you plug into a community, it changes everything because now you can tell somebody, hey, this is what's happening. Like with Mark said, hey, the finances and everything, you could literally send a message to somebody and they say, oh, you know what? I get it. I understand it. I've been there. And that whole guilt or that shame that we feel around not being able to succeed or not being able to accomplish a goal. Like if it's a goal in losing weight and I can send you a message, hey, I haven't lost weight or something. I'm sure you'll be like, hey, this is what I would recommend. This is what I'll do because that's your background and you know your stuff. But I think when you don't have a community and we get tied to trying to figure it out alone. I think we've been taught as a society that you need to figure it out alone. And if you ask for help, it makes you weak. That if you ask for support, it makes you dumb. And I've realized over time, the fastest way to get to where you're going is by getting supported.
Yep. Yeah. And we want to figure it out ourselves. And I think it's one of the hardest, one of the hardest things I ever have done since it started is going into the bank. You know, oh my gosh, I was dreading that day, you know, that I needed help and they ended up being awesome. But,
well, it's from the, you know, especially those that have toddlers know this phrase. I do it, you know, it's brought into us even before we really know how to vocalize that we can do this. And, you know, you're taught that you're not good unless you do it yourself. And so, yeah, I think that having mentors and friends and a community, like you say, is just very so invaluable. And I think that a lot of us are missing that right now. The phones have been very connective, but I think they've also been very disconnective because you go and you sit in a restaurant and you see.
Yeah. The stuff you know, where you would have had the conversation.
And they're sitting with somebody and they're not talking to them. And I'm an old geezer. I get it. But, you know, it's
and we're guilty of it too.
Yes, we are.
We both get on our phones.
And, you know, that thing's fascinating that's in front of you, but the person that's sitting next to you is more important. And it's really sometimes hard to put that stupid thing away.
It is.
But I think it's also filtered out into other things that, you know, we can get on our phone and get what we need and we don't have to, you know.
True.
And so I think it gets in the way sometimes.
The connection, as much so. So, and that's one thing with surrendering. God has provided exactly what we needed enough to get us to the next step. You know, it's just like, I have no idea how this is going to, you know, work. And he's like, it's not your job to figure it out. Give it to God. You know, I always do that. And it's just like, yeah, definitely give it to God. And like I was telling Cheryl this morning, some of our medical bills came yesterday. Mark just paid. So where did that come from? And I mean, you're still working on that.
Yeah, I'm sorry. The medical community is not altruistic in any fashion.
I don't think the medical community had. I don't think they paid. Yeah. But it's like, wow. Because I was dreading opening that envelope yesterday, and it's just like, whoa, that was awesome news. So
yeah. Well, we have a friend that she's been ill since she was 12, and just horrific.
Yeah, she got big medical bills.
And I just think how someone can sleep with millions of dollars of debt. I just don't know how anybody could do that. And it wasn't something that, and it's like with us, our debt isn't really a fault. We were promised things from and they weren't delivered. It was basically, we were lied to with investments. And so, which is not an atypical kind of a thing.
Our investments in medical bills and a whole battery.
But I don't think that's unusual with anyone, you know.
No.
But it is kind of.
But we don't want to go negative. It's all good. It's all humbling, moving forward.
It's honorable that you guys are able to talk about it and bring it up because a lot of people that are listening to the podcast probably have similar things that they've either gone through or that they're going through. So there's not a lot of podcasts you can find out there where people are going to be that transparent and honest. And I think it brings out a good conversation. So.
Yeah, it's like this Jesse Cruz, Jesse and Desiree, who we went to Italy with last year. They Jesse does speakers and stuff, and he is one that He says, I don't care if you speak. He says, you don't need to speak on stage as long as you speak, you know, to somebody. Put your backstory there. And like he said, it's just adding to your backstory. And it's like, oh, is it? Yeah, there are, like you said, Carter, all these people that have gone through a similar thing and kind of not wanting to bring it up because maybe shame or whatever the reason, you know, it's like, oh, I can't believe this. So, yeah, Jesse.
Well, trust me, we don't have a whole bunch of shoes and purses in a closet that it's you know, because that's what first people go to first is,
now, oh, well, it, you it's just this Christmas it's, stuff.
You know.
Yeah, you'll have to bust up the Christmas price. Ornaments. Yep.
Yes. It all went there. I have a small problem.
It is humbling and it is embarrassing and it is all of those things. But
well, and when they say, you know, it's just like, you know, they tried to shame you. It's like, well, you should have been more responsible with your finances. It's like, you know, and Carter, you know, I mean, I had a platinum American Express card. My FICO score was in the 800s. You know, I had all that. And then just like, you know, just like
overnight
it all went away. And so I used to like, no, it doesn't have to stay that way. And the most frustrating thing was, is I couldn't do anything about it. Yeah. You know, it was just like I was telling you, Carter, you know, everything just stayed pending. And it's just like, this is just,
It was a train wreck in slow motion.
Yeah, it was kind of. Yeah. But getting us to the point of surrender, yes. You know, it was exactly what it was needed to be done to get us to that point. So, changing gears. So I know I've always, you know, Dreamcatcher, you've all been on the podcast, but I, for the new listeners, your dream you had as a kid and your dream present day. And I'll start with you, Caleb.
Yeah. Well, my dream as when I was a kid was to be a professional football player. I'm sure y'all probably could have guessed that, but, those dreams got pushed away fairly quickly. I still love sports. I still love football, just not playing it anymore. And that's okay. I'm good with that. You know, honestly, I think I am catching my dreams right now. I get to help people on a daily basis, get better every day, no matter what their goal is, getting stronger, losing weight.
It's all good.
Yeah.
Very, very good. So, okay. So Carter.
Yeah. So, this is a good, it's a good time to be reaching out to me because I've been actually going back and watching these old videotapes that my mom took growing up of us growing up.
Cool.
And it's actually brought me back to my childhood a little bit and helped me remember. And I used to be like absolutely nuts, like watching these videos back. I was a crazy kid. And I think that something that's always been consistent though, is I've always kind of wanted to be like, I've always wanted to do something. I've always aspired to like, sort of like the geniuses of the world. Like I've got this picture right here, like the greats of the world, right? It's all of these unique, you know, we've got Martin Luther King, you've got Jesus Christ, you've got Kobe Bryant, you've got Bannister running the first 4 minute mile, all of these sort of like inspirational figures. And it's really for me about like striving to be, to really just be different and to leave the world with something that it that wasn't here before I was here. So I guess like growing up and still now, like I've always kind of been, like I was saying earlier, like a builder. Like I'm not super smart when it comes to the technical things like, you know, math and science and whatnot, but like I've always been kind of just striving to be like those people up there. You know what I'm saying? So I would say that was kind of like my childhood dream, honestly. Like I was always kind of into that and just like looking up to these like unique, like kind of oddball people that stood out in society. But these days, to be honest, like in more practical sense, I would say that I've really been trying to help myself, and this is going to sound kind of selfish, but I think that I've got to get back to that order of help myself first. And then with what's left, help my family. With what's left after that, help my community. With what's left after that, continue to like help bigger and bigger groups of people going further and further out. And I think that that's a good way to look at things, because if you can't help yourself, kind of like when you're on an airplane, they tell you to like help yourself first. I think that that really applies to life. I think that it's almost selfish not to help yourself, and not in the sense of like living in excess or anything like that, but just taking care of your obligations, building your career, building your body, being a good example for other people, and kind of just putting that first, and then helping your family get there and fostering. Maybe it's not necessarily like a family in the traditional sense, but like, you know, that close circle, helping those people rise up with you. And then just always having like a good intention behind that, and helping others when you can, you know what I mean? But also not just helping others and neglecting yourself and forgetting about your own standards and your own dreams and goals, if that makes sense.
It does, very much. That's so cool. So, well, and you have, I got to help, I got to do a shout out. You're trying to help animals with your awesome dog, Reese. I saw that thing. You, he has a beautiful dog.
He's gorgeous.
I have never met Reese yet, but it looks like Reese is probably going to beat that. I mean, but you and your fiance are trying.
Let's
Lauren are trying to raise money.
Let's see if I can get him in here.
Okay. So why is doing that, Crystal? So
for me, I remember as a little kid, like I shared a little bit about my story. My parents came here to the country illegally, and they were here. I think they got here when they were like 19 and 18. Their a dream was to have their kids be born in this country.
Okay.
There he is.
There's Reese.
He's like, yeah, I should be on the podcast.
Yeah.
You haven't asked me any questions yet.
Reese says hello.
I know you're fine. I have a German Shepherd, so I'm like all about dogs.
Yes, I love him. He's an Australian Shepherd.
Oh, I love
him. Sweet
boy. But like I was saying, like my parents came here, their dream was to have their kids here, and I was their firstborn. And what I subconsciously didn't know that was happening was I was learning to almost hide from the world, because my parents being here illegally, I was always told like, don't be too much at school or don't attract attention to you. And I didn't get it. I was always like a very loud kid and very like outgoing. So when I would get in trouble for talking, or I would get in trouble for being the kid who we would go to events and they'd say, does anybody want to volunteer? It'd be me. And my mom's like, no, put your hand down. I didn't understand why.
Right.
Up until I was 21, I was given the news. Hey, and my parents said, hey, we want to talk to you. The first thing that crossed my mind was like, oh, my parents are getting a divorce. And my parents let me know, hey, you know, we have something to tell you. We actually are in this country legally for 21 years now. And it is your responsibility to go through the process and help us become legal. Because in this, if you don't know much about this the information in this is that you have to have a child born in the USA. And when the child turns 21, they can go through the process of, if they're citizens, requesting their parents.
Really?
21-year-old had no idea what any of this was. I just remember being given the news, feeling like my heart sank and wondering, well, what comes next? My parents are going to get kicked out. I have three younger siblings. Now I'm becoming their mom. What if they have, like, all these thoughts came through my mind. And the first thing I did was like cry it out. Second thing was like, okay, I need to take action now. I called the lawyer. I got on a call. The lawyer did tell me, hey, your parents came here illegally. They have to be punished in a way. So they're going to be sent back to Mexico, and the time frame of them being punished in Mexico could be 8 to 10 years. So you'll be here in the country with your siblings for 8 to 10 years. We went through the whole process. My brother joined the army a year prior to that. So at that time if you had a son in the military, you were allowed to be in the country if you had somebody else to support you. At that time, I had already graduated as a teacher. So it worked out to where I was the teacher with the income. My brother was the son in the military. My parents got to be in the country. They didn't get to leave. So it worked out. But going back to my dreams, what I realized is my whole life, I just wanted to use my voice. And the only person that I knew that used their voice was like the president. So I would always say, I want to become the president.
Awesome.
And someone said, well, you can't become a president because you're a girl. Girls are not presidents. And remember that girls are supposed to be at home and cooking and having children, and girls don't have a job. And I remember I heard that in my heart, I was like, well, one day I'm going to become someone. And as I started growing up, I had this feeling in my heart where I want to leave a legacy. And I've always said, I want the world to be a better place because I existed. And it's just something that I've felt in my heart, and I don't know why. So when I left teaching, as much as I felt like I was making a difference with my kids and seeing them, and I was teaching at a school where these kids, I was in a fourth grade teacher, and we would get shot at the school a few times because it wasn't in a very nice area.
Wow.
And this was normal to them. Like this was normal to them. I remember one of my fourth graders came in and said, "Miss Alvarez, do you remember that?" They said, "Were you here this weekend?" I didn't live in town. I had already moved out of that town, but I said, "No." And they're like, "Well, the apartment complex got shot at." And I just ducked so that I already know that when they shoot, I'm supposed to duck. But it was so normal to them. And I remember when I left teaching, I was like, my goal in this life is to teach people that they have a voice, that they can step into their more, that they can build a legacy, that whatever they have to say, someone in this world is waiting for them that looks like them, that sounds like them, that has the same background as them, to give the other person permission to step into their more and their dreams. Just like for me, it had been like being the child of parents who came here legally or being here, not knowing my first language is Spanish, like all that, and reminding somebody else, hey, I'm a woman and I'm raising a family. I have a little boy and I'm still an entrepreneur. We're still running events. We're running retreats. We're running memberships, and I'm doing it with a family. And traditionally, we don't see that in this space. We see most women who are entrepreneurs not having kids because they're dedicating their entire life to entrepreneurship. Sure. So my dream, I don't think I ever had a specific dream. It was just wanting to leave a legacy. And now that I'm in this space, I feel like I'm stepping into it more and more every day. I don't know what that will look like, but I know that I feel really content with the life that we've built, and reminding people that regardless of your background, regardless if you came here in the country, if you were born here, who you are, your age, if you've left a career that you thought was once what you wanted to do, there's a legacy that you're meant to leave in this world, and the world is going to be a better place because you existed.
Wow.
That is so awesome.
Good for you.
I mean, that is
making the best of that situation that you were in, and really just being a net positive to the world at the end of the day, helping your family. That's awesome.
Thank you. They had a ceremony last year where they officially became, my parents both say, now we're citizens. I was like, yeah, you are. Like, they legally can vote and everything. So they're official citizens of the United States of America.
That's awesome.
That's awesome. You're so
good. It's really cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, and Crystal, I didn't know any of that backstory. I mean, it just goes to show you never know what we're all going through something, and you just never know what something's going through, if somebody's going through. We all definitely have our.
Well, and what spoke to me was the normal thing when you were talking about people shooting. I didn't have quite that level, but I had some things happen when I was in junior high and high school that were, scary. And, I thought that's just the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
And when I moved out to Nebraska, it was interesting because they said, I came from a small town. Well, my small town was like 100,000 people. I thought I came from a tiny place. I didn't know what tiny was.
Yeah.
So when I started talking about the things that happened in high school to me, because I was attacked a couple of times, and there was gangs that came to the school and they beat up this one girl and she ended up in the intensive care. I mean, that was just normal. I mean, guys set things on fire.
Yeah, that's normal to you.
It was normal. Yeah, yeah. And then to hear that that's not normal, so I really identified when you were talking about that these kids thought it was normal. I did too. And I always thought, I had this upbringing, and someone pointed out to me that yes, you did inside your home. I always thought it was like Ozzie and Harriet, and I can't think of anything that's equivalent, that everything's just so Leave It to Beaver, those old
kind of what people think, and like way we live in Nebraska,
it's mom and dad, and everybody has a job and everybody has enough to eat, and there's no buddy at the door saying you'd have to get out, those types of things. I didn't have that at home, but out in the world, I had lots of things. And so looking back, I think, oh yeah, I did look through that. And oh, that is what I thought was normal. And it is kind of an interesting adjustment when you, you know, share things, you learn, yeah, well, this was normal or this wasn't normal. And it's a gift that you're, you know, able to do that with other people. If you, you know, have the guts to admit to some of these things, because it is hard to say, you know,
yep.
I can imagine, you know, growing up with having someone that was in your family that is an illegal, having grown up in an area where there were a lot of Hispanic individuals that came for the meatpacking plant. And I know whenever there was cop cars, you know, people would scatter.
Yeah.
And, you know, or any kind of, not even just the police, just anybody that looked official, mm-hmm. you know, they'd because, and, you know, just never occurred to me that that was something that wasn't normal, you know, and being, you know, someone that didn't look like that, I didn't identify as much as probably I would if I was of the same ethnicity, but for me, it was normal because, okay, that's, oh yeah, somebody's coming, you know, it's time for people, certain people to hide. And
yeah,
it just,
yeah. Yeah. Now, your normal in Nebraska was learning how to have your wave.
Oh yeah, well, when I first moved here, people were waving at me, and when in where I grew up, where somebody waved at you, it meant a few things. There's cops around, your seatbelt's hanging out, or you know whatever was in your trunk that you're not supposed to have is, you know.
Yeah.
And so I was stopping and looking to see if there was something wrong with my vehicle because somebody had waved at me. And then I realized, oh my God, that's what everybody does through. Here. You know,
yeah.
It was a little bit of a culture shock. Again, like yeah. having, you know, my graduating class I thought was tiny, and it was, you know, it started out over 400 kids. Well, in a big city that is tiny, but here they're saying I had four people in my class, and I'm like, four?
Yeah.
Well, I had 110 in mine, so mine wasn't really small.
Yeah, but it's...
Yeah, it is. It's different than what you...
So, you know, it is good to share with other people because you do learn and they learn, and that's what it's all about, you know?
Yeah.
Well, just like the other day, the last guest I had, Scepter. I don't know. Caleb, do you know Scepter? I mean, from Africa?
Not on a personal level, but I know who he is, yes.
I mean, talk about it. Being such a change, leaving what I think he said he was 6 or 7 when his family left Africa to come to the United States. And I mean, I can't even imagine what that would have been like.
Well, it'd be like being dropped on.
Mark, you should, I was going to mention to you, you should interview, his name is City, I believe. He's like from the same village or same part of Africa. His name is City, and he owns that Lenore Coffee.
Oh, really?
If you've ever heard of that. Yeah, I was going to mention that to you. You should definitely interview him. He'd be a good one.
Yeah, we'll definitely have to touch bases with him. I mean, that sounds good.
And, yeah.
And he runs a coffee place in Hastings, or?
Yeah, and he gets all of his beans, and like everything's kind of ran out of Africa, and it's all shipped here. Oh, and cool. And then he obviously and he donates part of his profits and everything
cool.
back to.
That's a win-win.
It's all really cool. Yeah. Yeah.
Very much. I can't believe with coffee and how much I love coffee that I have.
I know.
I mean, I don't know how much I drink way too much coffee in a day's time. Way too much. but we're going to drink more water, Caleb. We got
there you go. Today. Hey, Mark, there's water and coffee. It's all good.
I definitely got to. I mean, and wine too. Is there water and wine?
There's water and wine, you bet.
Okay.
A little sugar and a little other things, too.
I think we better stick more with coffee. So, before I end the podcast, is there anything else that you would like to share with the audience? Thank you once again for joining on this 150th episode. I really never imagined 3 years ago that I'd be doing this. And I'm like I said, I'm so blessed that you're all in my life. And I look forward to maybe having you back on the 300th episode. You guys would be open to that.
Mark, I've got a question.
Yep, for sure.
What's the biggest thing that you learned or maybe that surprised you from getting through 150 episodes of a podcast? What would you say if I wanted to start a podcast?
I had so much to learn that I thought I kind of knew what it was about, and I had no clue. You know, I kind of thought maybe what podcasting was like, and it's been nothing like that. It has been, it's actually because I was I was hesitant. I thought maybe I'd like it. Oh, you kind of know, Crystal, that, you know, I was, it's just like, yeah, maybe I'll do this. And it's just like, you know, until you really try something, you don't know if you're going to like it or not. It might be like, this is one of my favorite things to do. Because I think people are like, they judge before they even do it. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, if you do that, what if that was, you know, or food wise, what if that's your favorite food, but you just don't feel like you're going to try it. Mm-hmm. And I would look back, and if I hadn't done this, I wouldn't have met all, you know, I wouldn't be doing this today. Wouldn't have met all these people from all over the world. I mean, from Sydney, Australia, to lots of places, to the guy in Spain that I talked to for 5 hours. And that cast was not that long, but also, you know, how people really worldwide have, you know, speak English. And that was one thing I think I told you the other night, Carter. You know, we didn't have to, everybody spoke English enough that we really didn't have any struggle, and that people are people, and we all worldwide are dealing with something, and we all do want the same things. Mostly. And we want to actually put our, that we matter, that we put our story out there to the world, and that we want to count. You know, I think even the people that are struggling, you know, I've got this one gal. Well, maybe you remember Caleb, the one, she's homeless. She actually, I think she's in Atlanta, Georgia now, was living at a motel, and was helping this guy, this Scott, help with the podcast. And I have nothing. I mean, she was living week to week at a motel.
And she has advanced cancer.
Yeah. And she, too. Well, had cancer again.
Yeah. But it's
and
advanced.
You never know what people are going through. Yeah. And you want to give them grace.
Well,
you know?
Yeah. Some people are just heroic for showing up and getting out of bed.
She was. And she was trying her, you know, she didn't know how she was going to pay, you know, for, and she, it was, I guess, a Super 8 or something like that. But the gal who was running it was giving her, you know, a break too. And, but yeah, you just don't know. You don't know. You know, that's probably until you really hear somebody's story, you don't know what you don't know. And you just want to reach out and you just want to reach out.
Yeah.
And I think that is something that because I mean, who knows? You might be the one person that makes their day, you know, or yeah. And because some of these people that I've talked to that I mean, I'm very much, you know, a suicide. What you know, so much loss there because there's not the ripple of what could possibly have been that they could have made positivity. And to be in that mindset.
Well, and unfortunately, when someone commits suicide, they don't really truly understand, I don't think, at that point, because they're so mm-hmm. wrapped up in their pain that when they kill themselves, they give it to everyone.
Yeah,
they
it just
care
transfers
about
the pain.
And
it does,
so
the pain
expands.
Yeah.
And it just passes it along, and you know, to fight from such a dark place, because we have a friend who is bipolar and her medicines weren't working for her, and thank heavens that she was aware enough that she went to the emergency room to take care of herself because she'd been given a new med and it wasn't working. It was actually making it worse.
Yep.
And you know, to have that kind of a self-awareness is just amazing to me. But you know, that darkness is just horrific. And you know, there are certain things I always say in life I don't want to experience. And that's definitely one of them. I mean, I've been depressed, but nothing to the point where I want to leave, you know? And I know a lot of people, when they get cancer, you know, our society is dramatized things. And a lot of people just, okay, I'm going to go kill myself because I'm not going to win this fight. And you don't know that. But,
no, because you had advanced colon.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
well,
you
did. I metastasized, so I didn't. I only had one cancer. I had two at the same time. And, you know, that isn't a hit in the gut. Because when they did my surgery, the surgeon came in and told my parents and Mark, oh, I think it's good, you know. And then it comes back and, you know, I'm once
that was
just
probably
one little tiny level
days.
Under stage four, which is terminal.
Gut.
You know, that takes the wind out of your sails, let me tell you.
Yeah.
You know, and so I know there are some people that would have been their option. And, you know, it's just, we've got to normalize that there are pains that you need help with, you know, addiction and depression
you know,
there's a lot of things out there. Yeah.
I think our society is so bad about
that. It's terrible at it.
That we're not supposed to help one another, or you're not supposed to ask for help. I'm sorry. I'm going to use BS. It's just BS.
Yeah.
You need to help. You go get it, you know, and if you don't get the right help from that person, you go to the next person. It's like, that was why I was in the situation I was in, because I went to doctor upon doctor upon doctor upon doctor upon doctor, and found that I had stage 4 endometriosis. And when you have stage 4, one of the hallmarks of that is that this endometriosis has grown into other places, and mine grown into my colon. And there might be the correlation is that's the reason why I got cancer later, is because I didn't get the help when I needed it, you know? Mm-hmm. And so it just makes the things worse. And so, you know, even sometimes when you do have asked for help, you don't get it, but you have to go to the next place. And it's just, you know, keep going, keep putting one foot in front of the other. And I think that's one thing that Mark has learned from all of these interviews, that I think that's the one real true hallmark that has shown up in everyone, that we all have these huge backstories, but they've all put one foot in the next, to the next, to the next, to the next, to the next. And sometimes, you know, the path, like I say, we've been taught it's going to be a straight line, and it's anything but it's all over. And that's really invaluable to really internalize and keep with yourself, is that, yeah, it may be crud now, but, you know, you might go over the next hill and
you don't know what it's going to lead to.
You don't have any idea. Ever. Yeah. And it may not be the best life ever. It might be just a little better than it is today.
Yep.
And that's worth trying for.
Yes.
And so I think that's what has come out, because Mark's, you've kind of changed what you started out doing with your podcast, and it's sort of,
well, it was a handyman,
but it's kind of morphed into this.
You never know how it's going to evolve unless you do it.
The people that you've been speaking with that I've noticed, it's all been people that have got a positive attitude, that have got a story, that have got something to share. And, you know, I think that's what it's turned into.
Well, all these things, cancer, you know, give clarity, you know, it gives you definitely more clarity.
You know exactly what you want, what you don't want when you have that kind of a diagnosis. I knew right away, I didn't want this. I didn't want that. I didn't want to do this.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's a gift.
It is.
At the time, it didn't feel like much.
No,
of a
but
gift,
it is.
But looking back, it was.
And all those trials and tribulations can be the biggest gift you would not think at the time when you're going through. So I think on that, I think I want to tie up the podcast. And I got to say, Carter, Reese wasn't the first dog on the podcast.
Oh.
Rosie was. You know, when I did. And Rosie decided that I think she needed, because that was when he was in Detroit. And Rosie definitely, I think, had to go.
Well, he's okay with being the second on the podcast.
Yeah, but no, everybody's like, you wouldn't edit that out. It's like, no, that's real life. That's what that's what I wanted always to be. So so on that, always believe everything's possible. Be kind and send love. And I'm sending love to all of you. So
Mike,
thank you. And thanks for joining me on this 150th episode. And take care and have a good rest of your day.
You too. Thank you for having me.
Thanks, Mark.